The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hey folks, welcome to hour two. Wow, I'm seeing double. Albin, is that you times two, or is that your identical twin times two? Which is it? Quick.
Well, you've heard of the New Year's baby. We're the hour two twins. You see, one, two, hour two.
I always say to my producers, listen, when we do hour two, we need to hit it hard. We need to reinforce the two idea. It's a big idea. Can you get me twins?
And Albin,
the fact that you went back in time and were able to split in the womb, I mean, right in the beginning, and bring a twin into the world with you for the purpose of this hour, that's pretty big stuff.
No, it was for the purpose of the Doubleman twin gum commercial. Anthony and I on one of those those tandem bikes.
Right.
We were supposed to do those Doubleman commercials, but they decided to go with cute little young women.
Who doesn't remember those great Doubleman commercials from the 70s? I think pretty much everybody born after that time, which is a lot of our audience. But anyway, we're talking to Ryan Anderson in this hour. He's a friend. He's the person that wrote a book called When Harry Becomes Sally. It's about the transgender situation. It's a really serious, academically serious book. Amazon canceled it. Whoops. So we're going to talk to our buddy Ryan Anderson about that. Right after this segment, we're talking to Michael Meyer at Dayspring. Basically, I'm doing an event in a couple of months with Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. And I'm very excited about that, I have to say. I'm doing a lot of events. If people want to know what I'm doing, go to my website, ericmetaxas.com, click on schedule. Because recently I was in El Paso, I was in Dallas, and our friend Tom Tradup said, like, hey, thanks for not telling me that you were in Dallas. Thanks a lot, pal. And what Tom doesn't realize is the reason I didn't tell him was because I don't like him. All right. I've never liked you, Tom. If you're listening, I don't like you. No, the funny thing is I go all these different places and then my friends are like, why didn't you tell me? Well, I guess I have a lot of friends, so that's a blessing. But I was in Dallas. I'll be back in Dallas this next weekend, a week from now. But I don't think I'm doing anything public unless there's a church that wants to invite me to preach on Palm Sunday. I don't see that happening. I'm getting all around the country. I'll be in Houston eventually. I'm going to be in Redding, California, which is Bethel Church. And I'm just going all over the place. So if you're interested in getting a book signed or punching me in the face, you can find out where I will be just by going to ericmetaxas.com. And Albin, we really got to mention this.
I'm ready for there, the second part of you in the face and the punch.
Yeah, if you want to get a piece of me, you or your freaky twin there, you just come to a book signing and go wham. And you know what? Well, I won't see it coming. Now, here's the thing, though.
That's a physical canceling, I think.
Yes, but here's the thing. You've caused me to forget what I was going to talk about.
Oh, well, was it? It might have been food for the poor.
Can I blame you? Can I blame you? No, actually, what I was going to talk about is people need to. There's two things. People need to go to my website, ericmetaxas.com, and please sign up for the newsletter, because there's a lot of stuff, including where I'm going to be and that kind of thing, where we just can't get all that information out. So the newsletter really is the way we do that. So we'd like to stay in touch with you. We'd love you folks. Please sign up. Just go to ericmetaxas.com. There's all kinds of stuff that we send out via the newsletter, and we just don't have time to cover it on the radio. So I want to say that. Number two, I want to say, if you're looking at this on video, unless Chris Himes has blocked him with our logo, that is Mike Lindell behind me. He's glowering. He's saying, Eric, you wanted me to partner with you. You wanted me to sponsor your program, but your listeners many of them have not yet gone to MyPillow.com or MyStore.com and used the code Eric. And Eric, I am disappointed in you, saith the sponsor, Mike Lindell. So I just got a ream of word of knowledge from Mike Lindell that he wants you to go to MyPillow.com, MyStore.com. Most of my books are available at MyStore.com. If you don't want to give your money to Amazon, who are, I say this in a nice way, satanic and canceling people like my friend Ryan Anderson. If you want to go other places, think about going to MyStore.com. My new book is not there yet. You can get that at CBD, really cheap. But I just thought I had to say that. Okay, the other thing, and this is where we get really serious. We are doing a fundraiser for Food for the Poor. We have raised, I guess, about $30,000. Is that right?
Yeah, that's about it. But we've got
Have we, or we haven't? You don't know what our total is.
Well, it's around there because the total comes in. It fluctuates, of course, every day.
And it fluctuates. It tends to go up because people keep giving. But we're actually behind, if I can say that. I feel like guilt tripping my audiences. God has called me to that. So let me just say, if you haven't yet given, I hope you feel guilty. And that's all. You don't have to give. Just feel guilty. But even better than feeling guilty would be giving, because we all know we're blessed to be a blessing. That's basic biblical teaching. And even if you don't believe in the Bible, you know that if you're blessed, the right thing to do is to, you know, figure out a way to bless somebody else to the extent that you're comfortable. But there are folks right now in Honduras that are really struggling. Food for the Poor, why we partner with them is we want to figure out where can people give money that they know great things are being done. So right now there's tremendous hunger and suffering in Honduras. So Food for the Poor is on the ground there. I think we have a clip that we can pay. Angel Aloma, he's the executive VP with Food for the Poor. And he was talking to somebody who is on the ground from Food for the Poor in Honduras. And I just have to say that this is real hunger. They had first of all, 60% of them live below the poverty line under normal circumstances. They recently had a devastating tropical storm followed by a much more devastating hurricane. There has been flooding, crops are wiped out. This is devastating. And those of us who can do something, if you give $37, you feed a kid for 6 months. That is how far Food for the Poor is able to stretch our American dollars in a place like Honduras. Let's play that clip from Angel Aloma.
Their most urgent need was food. And when you consider how inexpensively, because of our buying volume and because of our partners who give us, who also, we can feed a child for 6 months and for a year, really, it's a beautiful solution so that parents don't go through the pain of losing a child to hunger.
I get speechless. Losing a child to hunger, that's what we're talking about. So folks, whatever you can do, you can also give monthly, which obviously is 1/12 the amount, whatever you can give, but you can give a lot more in the course of a year. If you want to do it monthly, just go to our website, ericmetaxas.com, ericmetaxas.com. You'll see the banner. We need your help.
We have a phone number too. It's 844-863-HOPE. That's 844-863-HOPE. So give
844-863-HOPE, 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 844-863-HOPE.
Hope.
Or just go to ericmetaxas.com. Sorry, go to metaxastalk.com. It's our radio website. The need is urgent. We're behind. Typically, we've raised more money by this point in the month, and we just do this once a year. I know there are people out there that can give a lot. We ask you, go to metaxastalk.com, give what you can. If there's anybody out there that has $10,000 burning a hole in their pocket and they want to give it to something outrageously worthy, tax deductible, I will thank you by figuring out a time when we can have dinner together. You can invite, you know, your whole high school class, whatever you want to do, you take care of the dinner, I show up. And it would be an honor for me to meet anybody who is giving so generously to Food for the Poor. But please, whatever you can give folks, and Albin and Chris and I, we figured out that we're going to thank you by entering your name, no matter what you give, in a drawing for, we're giving away 5 grand prizes, really great stuff, signed books and like tons of stuff. So we just hope you'll go to Food for the Poor and give something. It really doesn't matter what you give. You give what God lays on your heart, as to use the cliche. Okay, when we come back, we're going to blow your mind with Mike Meyer and Ryan Anderson.
Love is a burning thing.
Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like 4? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day, to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out.
Hey folks, Eric Metaxas here. Like you, I am sick of hearing about big tech companies spying on their customers, selling their data, and not being able to keep their platforms safe and secure. Luckily, I've found SquadPod, a private platform that helps businesses, organizations, churches, and nonprofits take back control of their communication. SquadPod has 3 things going for it that other companies do not. First, SquadPod puts you in control of who is a part of your team, what they see, and how they interact with the group. Second, SquadPod is 100% owned and operated in the United States. Third, SquadPod is simple to use. Just create an account, invite your team, and start communicating via their secure video and messaging features. Learn more at squadpod.com/Eric. That's squadpod.com/Eric. Let me say it again, squadpod.com/Eric. Check it out. Hey there, folks. Welcome back. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Every now and again, I get to do something really fun, like interview someone on a stage and people watch it. And then I always think, if it's so much fun, why aren't we televising this, or why aren't we broadcasting this somehow? And guess what? That's what I'm here to talk to you about. I have as my guest right now, Dr. Mike Myers of Dayspring Academy. Dr. Myers, welcome. Where's Dayspring Academy?
We are in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, a little town called Mountville.
You have invited me to interview Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, who wrote The Harbinger and many other fascinating books. His ideas are just very, very fascinating. A lot of people know him, but tell my audience this idea that you had, this Remember America speaker series and so on and so forth, because I'm privileged I get to be a part of it, and I'm thrilled to tell my audience that they get to watch it if they want. But I think anything with Dr. Kahn in this kind of a venue is going to be great. So I'm looking forward to it. And it's May 1st, right? I think we're doing it?
Yes, May 1st.
Well, so tell my audience about this whole idea. First of all, let me even ask you before that. Tell us a little bit about Dayspring Academy in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Okay, Dayspring is what we call a principal approach school. It has a very specific mission that begins with partnering with parents and churches to equip our students to, first of all, acknowledge the Lordship of Jesus Christ in every area of life. That is the foundation. That's the doorway that opens everything else up. But then we really begin to develop a biblical worldview in our students and teach them about excellence in Christian character and scholarship, And then the real kicker in it, and this is where it's, I think, a dividing line where we're very focused with something that God has called the school to do, and that is to help restore America to its biblical foundations. And so we pay a lot of attention to that, not because we just make everything about America, but we believe that to fulfill the Great Commission, we have to make sure the home fires are burning, or it hinders, it diminishes our influence in the world. And we believe America was given a gospel purpose from the beginning. We see that thread running through history, which I'm happy to go into some of that if you would like.
Well, I have to tell you, first of all, it's a joy. Am I getting some feedback? Is the audio okay, Alvin? That's better. I was just going to say, it's such a joy to hear somebody say what you've just said. It's so important. And there's so many people who really don't understand this. This is really basic. This is like basic math. But a lot of people, they don't do math. They don't get into it. You're talking about basic truth. The idea that this country was founded on biblical principles. It was not founded as a theocracy. It was not founded, where everybody has to go to church. We have freedom of religion. But these principles are so fundamental to freedom. And as you know, it's become part of my life to talk about this. But when I find a school like Dayspring Academy in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, where you all get this, it just thrills me because the whole country needs to get this. And I'm more thrilled even because you're choosing to do this in a public venue so that anyone can watch it. Now, to be clear, I often forget to introduce my guests even slightly properly. You're the founder and the headmaster of Dayspring Christian Academy. When was it founded?
1987. We opened our doors with 10 kindergarten students and then just grew from there.
And 9 of them are sitting on the Supreme Court this day. So that's really impressive. My goodness, that we're talking 34 years now. That's just right. Tremendous. Have you been the headmaster all this time?
Yes, I have.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because I've seen schools where it is someone's life work, and it's just such a beautiful thing to see because the effect you can have, the legacy. Let's talk a little bit about the Remember America Speakers series. Now, by the way, if people want to see it, how can they see it?
Well, we have a virtual link that they can access by going to our website, dayspringchristian.com. And that really opens the whole event to the world because of the internet. And the unique thing about this time, we are offering that as just pay what you can. So there's no set price that you have to pay to be able to sit back in your home, if that's what you choose, to see the event. And just go to dayspringchristian.com and you will find the links there.
dayspringchristian.com. Okay, and this is May 1st. Now, I better get the date right because I'm supposed to be there. So I'm going to be interviewing Dr. Jonathan Kahn on, how does he put it? The seeds, I can't remember the title, his title or your title.
The title of the event is Return to the Foundation, Reviving the Seed of Our Nation.
Reviving the Seed of Our Nation. So Jonathan Kahn has written a lot about this kind of thing. And it's really, it's fascinating to me because it operates on at least two levels. On the one hand, all of the founders understood these basics, and I write about it in my book, If You Can Keep It, the golden triangle of freedom, the vitality that you get when you combine religious liberty and virtue liberty and virtue and freedom and how these things work together. And a lot of people don't get that. But what Dr. Kahn says, he actually puts a kind of a mystical overlay on it in a way, which you don't really need to buy the basic ideas behind it. But I find that fascinating, that he really does make the case that God's hand is uniquely on this nation for God's purposes.
Right. It is. That's so true. And I think Jeremiah chapter 18 is very clear that while that initial prophecy was given to Israel, God goes on to say any nation I may choose to raise a nation up. If that nation follows me, then I will bless it. If that nation chooses to reject my principles and my precepts, then I will bring that nation down. That's a real wake-up call for us as America, because we believe that it is God who raises nations up and even sets their boundaries, as Paul teaches in Acts. And so remember, America and really our whole school is a call to Americans to remember our heritage and our liberty that we enjoy better than any nation on earth still, directly tied to our Christian principles. If we abandon them, if we take those pillars, as George Washington said, of religion and morality out from the foundation, then our nation cannot stand.
It's interesting. We don't really live at a time when what we call the cultural elites celebrate America. They're troubled by patriotism. In other words, rather than understand that there's a measured, appropriate kind of patriotism, they think all patriotism is somehow jingoistic. It's putting down other people. It's kind of like people who they have the same view of the Christian faith. They think, well, if I'm proselytizing, if I'm telling people about Jesus, that's kind of offensive. I need to just sort of be slightly ashamed of holding these views while I hold them, rather than saying, these views are not my own. These are a beautiful gift to me that I get to share. And if I don't share it, why wouldn't I share it? This is just it's a glorious thing. So it just makes me happy that you're teaching that at Dayspring. How do you do this at Dayspring Christian Academy? Because, you know, it's something I'd like to see happening in schools all around the country. Tell us a little bit about what you teach or what classes, what grades you teach what.
Okay. Well, I would say that the backbone of principal approach education curriculum-wise is our history curriculum. And we look at America's Christian history timeline. We do that because we're Americans. We're living in America. I've spoken at a principal approach conference in Brazil a few years ago, and they're looking at Brazil's Christian history timeline. So it's not just about America, but we believe that as Americans, we need to understand God's hand in our history, because you can see what we say is a crimson thread that runs through our history. And that crimson thread is Christ, the liberty that he bought for us on the cross. But it's God's story. It's Christ, his story. And so we start teaching that to little children. They come to understand that God uses individuals, and we highlight key individuals. We look at their character. We look at how God used them. And then we say, God can use you too in your time. And that's actually the last link of our history program, is what we call the restoration link, where we live right now is trying to restore our nation back to that foundation so we can fulfill God's purposes for our nation, but also for our individual lives.
Thank you. For people who can't, who have to tune out or do whatever they have to do right now, just want to remind them they can go to daystreamchristian.com. Dayspringchristian.com. 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 Check it out. May 1st, I'm interviewing Jonathan Kahn.
Over sleepy garden walls, and the stars begin.
Welcome back. As promised, our friend Ryan Anderson. Ryan, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
I have to properly introduce you. You have just become the head of the Ethics and Public Policy Center. You're their new president. Congratulations, young man.
Thank you. It's a real privilege to be leading such a great institution.
I would think it is, and we're excited you're there. Because when I think of all the losers they could have picked, and they picked you, and you're a winner, young man. All right, seriously, here's another honor that you have had recently. Your wonderful book, When Harry Becomes Sally, is that the right verb?
Became.
When Harry Became Sally, about the transgender situation. It's a really serious book. It's an excellent book. It's a helpful book. Amazon has decided not to carry it. This is a stunning moment in America that we're dealing with stuff like this. And it is why I'm trying to get all my books at mystore.com so people can buy it there, use the code Eric. But I just want to say we are living in strange times because so many people shop at Amazon. And so tell us, what has this been like for you? This is a very serious book. This is not some, you know, flippant rant. This is and they carry Mein Kampf, do they not?
That's correct. So, I mean, like the book came out 3 years ago. You know, it's rigorously argued, you know, tons of footnotes, lots of studies are cited. It's endorsed by a who's who of medical experts, scientific experts, legal philosophy experts. And they sold it for over 3 years. You know, they sold it all throughout the time when Donald Trump was president and Bill Barr was attorney general and Josh Hawley was in the Senate majority. And then all of a sudden, the weekend before a big vote in the House of Representatives on a bill that I'm critical of and that the book discusses critically, they erase the book, right? They just, you know, put me down the memory hole. It's the timing is suspicious. There was no explanation offered. They didn't reach out to us ahead of time in violation of their own policy for this. And all they have said since then is they've misdescribed what the book says and they've used that as the justification for getting rid of it. Amazon controls something like 70 to 80% of new book sales in America, 80% of ebook sales in America. They're the largest online retailer in the world. And so if you get canceled from Amazon, that's going to harm you. It's going to harm readers, but more importantly, future authors. Who's going to write a book like this in the future if they're afraid that they won't have access to the marketplace? Because Amazon is the marketplace, unfortunately.
This is stunning. I mean, you just said a couple of things that I hadn't thought of that are really important, that when someone like Amazon does this, they have such a powerful voice in the culture by doing something like this. They are sending a chilling effect. Don't write books like this. Publishers, don't publish books like this. We will hurt you. And I always say that we've got to fight back whatever we can do. And so I'm always half joking about the mystore.com. But the reason I've moved my books there is because I thought this is scandalous that we have one giant entity, Amazon, that is making these kinds of decisions about who they want to cancel. And they have so much money that they don't care if they lose some money from not selling your book. They don't care. They can do what they want. They're really monsters at this point. And of course, just to get into the legal aspects of it, Ryan, where it becomes tricky is that we have ceded tremendous power to tech giants, online giants like Amazon. We've given them power and they're private corporations. So it's interesting to think, how can the government get involved? It seems to me that if the government can get involved in telling people that they have to sell hamburgers to anyone who comes in your store, whatever race they are, you know, because it's in the public interest, it seems to me this is something like that, where the government has to somehow get involved.
Yeah, I mean, you could think about this. All of our liberties have limits. And so I believe in free markets. I believe in property rights, but I'm not a free market absolutist. I'm not a property rights absolutist. There are limits to everything. And so we can think about this. There's anti-discrimination limits. There are antitrust and monopoly limits. There are common carriers and public utility limits. What we're seeing is kind of the intersection of those three areas, right? Amazon's almost like a monopoly. Perhaps it is for antitrust purposes. It seems that they're discriminating against people based upon their political views, their religious views. And they're kind of like something like a common carrier, right? Imagine if your electric company or the phone company said, you know, we won't service your home or your cell phone plan if you're a conservative, right? Some banks are doing that to conservatives. So I think free marketers like me, you know, we shouldn't fall into the trap of saying, oh, it's a private business. They can do whatever they want, right? That's not true. It's never been true in the U.S. And we need to think, when there's an ideological a universality of a certain ideology amongst all of the elites who own the big tech companies, we need to figure out what's the right response.
And what do you think is going on? Do we think that we don't have leadership and courage in Congress or the Senate? Because it doesn't really get much bigger than this.
Well, I wouldn't say necessarily it's a lack of courage. I mean, we did see four senators sent a letter to Jeff Bezos demanding answers on this. Earlier this week, I think eight members of the House of Representatives from the Republican Study Committee sent a letter to Jeff Bezos. Just yesterday, the Attorney General of Indiana sent a letter to Bezos, you know, all demanding answers in various respects. I think the bigger problem is that we haven't updated our thinking from the 1980s, right? That many conservative thinkers are still stuck in the Reagan years, where the only threat to our liberty was big government. And we haven't realized that big tech is also a threat.
This is a real bugbear for me. I get enraged at people who are so myopic. They think the free market will cure everything. They have no understanding of liberty if they make an idol of the free market. And I'm a free marketer. We're going to be back, folks. I am talking to Ryan Anderson. Don't go away. Folks, I'm talking to Ryan Anderson, the new president of the Ethics and Public Policy Center, the author of When Harry Became Sally, which has been banned, thrown away by Amazon. There's a lot going on here, Ryan. First of all, let's talk about one of the important issues here. The reason that Amazon has made this decision is because they have certain views on the transgender debate and they don't like what you have to say, even though everything you have to say is simply true. You have simply written a book where you have done the research and you put it out there so people can make healthy decisions. They don't like that.
I think that's ultimately what it comes down to, is that, you know, Amazon is trying to use its outsized market dominance to put its thumb on the scale on an important cultural debate, an important philosophical debate, an important medical debate, and an important political debate. And they have certain views on this, and they're going to use their market power to try to skew that debate. And my fear is that it's going to have really bad consequences. And, you know, not just for me personally, but consequences for people who need to know the truth about this. You know, parents who have a child struggling with gender dysphoria. What's in the best interest of that child? Puberty blocking drugs and cross-sex hormones or good counseling, right? Amazon skewing these discussions in a way that I fear is going to have negative consequences for the entire culture.
Well, I keep saying that we've all got to do something about this. There's a million things that need to be done, but I think people have to migrate away from places like Amazon because this will happen more and more and more and more. And if we don't diversify so that you can find products at other places, we're all going to lose our freedoms. I mean, the reason this is so scandalous to me is that in a few years, a few people have made some decisions and tried to force these decisions on everyone. I can't think of anything more horrifying, more sick, that we have not properly looked at this stuff. Your book obviously is a huge effort toward that end. Let's actually look at this in a cold-blooded scientific way. Is this good? Is this bad? What are the upsides to this? What are the downsides to this? And I'm amazed because people have children going through this. The messages they're getting are mixed, are confused, are in many cases fundamentally wrong and harmful. And you were doing your duty as an American citizen to get this information out there. This is what you do. And they're saying, we're not interested in your objective information. We don't like it. It's a stunning thing. I mean, what do you say in the book, for example, that maybe folks listening right now wouldn't know about this issue?
You know, the best analogy that I think will be helpful for our viewers and listeners is to think about something like anorexia, right? This is a body image problem, an eating problem, depending on who the person is. And sometimes it's focused more on food. Sometimes it's focused more on the body, body image. But no one thinks that the solution is liposuction, right? Because everyone agrees there's nothing wrong. A high school girl who's struggling with anorexia, the problem is not with her body. The problem is with her thoughts, with her feelings. And so you direct the therapy, you direct the intervention at the thoughts and the feelings. You help her to feel comfortable in her own body. That's what Dr. McHugh at Johns Hopkins suggests is a good framework for thinking about gender dysphoria, right? If you have the high school girl who doesn't feel comfortable as a girl, the solution isn't testosterone and a double mastectomy, right? The solution is helping her feel comfortable with the reality of who she is as a girl, as a developing woman. And the problem could be the culture. It could be the school that she's in. It could be, you know, other girls. It could be boys. I mean, who knows what it is that's making her feel this discomfort? But that's the problem, right? The underlying cause is the problem. The problem is not with her body. And so the solution is not with hormones and surgery.
It's extraordinary to me to think that we're telling people suddenly you can be whatever gender you want to be. It seems preposterous, right? If you do a blood test, I would say in 99.9999 cases, it's going to be very clear that you're either a male or a female. Are there even cases where that's confusing?
I mean, in a fraction of cases, you will have the chromosomal sex and then the kind of like physical sex not quite being aligned because the Y chromosome won't be carrying the SRY gene, which initiates male development. But they would identify, and there wouldn't be any kind of question to an external observer as to the sex of that individual, right? So there are some kind of cases where you'll have some chromosomal disorders. Right,
but the point is that those are unbelievably rare. Unbelievably rare. Like you will,
and they have nothing to do with transgender issues. I mean, that's the other thing, is that they're both very rare, and none of those people, for the most part, have any gender identity.
So what we're talking about is people who somehow simply decide, I don't like who I am. I want to dress this way. I want to be this. But you can't change the fact that if Bruce Jenner takes a blood test, he, from the moment he was conceived till the moment he leaves us, he has male chromosomes. That cannot be changed. He can dress differently. He can have surgeries, but it doesn't change the fundamental fact of that.
Yep. I mean, the only thing I would add there is that in many instances, it doesn't look like anyone has like actively chosen this, right? I mean, imagine feeling, Eric, so uncomfortable in your own body that you would contemplate having surgery to remove, you know, various body parts. I just feel kind of like great sympathy and compassion for someone that's kind of like bearing that cross, right? It's something that you and I would never want to experience.
I'm glad you said that. We don't say that often enough. My heart does break, actually. I mean, I have to say this is really serious. And your point is to simply tell these people, yes, go ahead and do it. When we have other information, you in your book, When Harry Became Sally, you have other information there that says, please don't do this. Please think about this. Here are some facts. And Amazon has said, we don't want those facts out there anymore. I wonder why they have made this ideological decision on based on what, I don't know, but it's chilling. We just got seconds left, Ryan. What can we say in the next 30 seconds that I don't want to forget?
I mean, I guess one important message here. Sure. I mean, buy it direct from the publisher, encounterbooks.com, leave the middleman out, right? I mean, one way is, you know, vote with your wallet, hit Amazon where it hurts. I mean, but it won't hurt that much because the owner, Jeff Bezos, is the richest man on the globe.
Well,
which
look,
is why he can afford to do these ideological stunts.
God is just, there are many people praying in this country. And those of us who can do something need to do something. I just wanted to get this information out. We're out of time, but folks, you can find Ryan Anderson on the web. He's the new president of the EPPC, Ethics and Public Policy Center. Ryan, just superb to have you on today. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
I won't make it.
Folks, a couple of quick things. Remember, Mike Lindell is angry. I want you to remember that. He says, why won't you go to MyPillow.com? Why won't you go to MyStore.com and use the code Eric? He's crying. He's saying, why? Please. Have you heard that they've got new slippers? They're called My Slippers. Yes, they've got everything. Go there quickly. Now, Albin, I heard you have a twin.
I do. I have a twin. He's a meteorologist, a climatologist, whatever you want to call it. But he's got a really fun fact for like a short little fun fact Friday segment.
Tony, hit us with the fun fact. And if you're better than Alvin at this, you've got the job. Go.
Okay, here's the fun fact. The number one claim that is the number one environmental issue is overpopulation. People are concerned that there's too many people in the world. Right now, there's 7.831 billion people in the world. 7.831 billion. Now, this is a calculation. I hate to use the word calculation. You can figure this at home. You can get your little calculators on. So if you take 7.831 billion, let's say we want to bring all those people to one location on the planet for a population exposition.
Conference.
We want to bring them all to one location, but we don't want them all cramped together. We're going to give each person 20 foot of square space. In other words, 400 square feet.
We give them a little computer so they can go to mypillow.com and use the code Eric. Is that permissible?
Okay, so here's how you do the calculation. You take 7.831 billion. That's seven.
We know how to do it. Just give us the answer. Come on.
No, but if you take that and you multiply it by 20 times 20 with this 400, you'll come up with this huge number. 3.1324 trillion square feet is needed.
Right. They could fit inside the state of Massachusetts. Map,
figure out how much space 3.1324 trillion, that's 10 to the 12th.
Okay. Okay.
How much area do you need to fit all the people?
I cut myself shaving. I'm bleeding here. Can you give us the answer before I die? And go ahead.
Arizona, baby.
Arizona. And you know what that means, don't you, folks? It means there's no overpopulation. That's baloney. It's Malthusian hoo-ha. It is nonsense.
Right, and I just want to show you quickly on the map. That's Arizona. There's a star down here. That's where Eric is. And then there's two stars way up here. That's where Anthony and I are.
Isn't that sweet?
Sure, we weren't that close.
So is that true, though? So you've given us the information that all the people in the world could fit in Arizona with room to spare, and especially if you're in high-rise buildings, we could probably fit inside the state of Rhode Island or Delaware. So the point is that keep on populating, ladies and gentlemen. It's very important. The Bible tells us that we're supposed to be fruitful and multiply. And the only one who's doing that among us is Chris Himes. Chris has six children. God bless you, brother, because that is awesome.
I have taken the mandate to heart, and I am also, I'm an improviser.
You're an improviser, and you've had five wives, and the woman you're living with now is not your wife. Is that true? Actually, that's not true. You and Tiffany have been together so many years. You've had six wonderful children and one crummy kid, and I'm not going to say his name. But we're going to go. We need to go out on a serious note. Food for the poor, folks. Please go to MetaxasTalk.com. Please give to Food for the Poor. Anything you give, we put your name in a big drawing to get one of five grand prizes. And the odds are pretty good that you're going to get an awesome grand prize. So please go to MetaxasTalk.com, or you can call the number 844-863-HOPE, 844-863-HOPE, 844-863-HOPE. Albin, Chris, and Tony, if that's your real name.
By the way, Tony is not a climatologist. What is he again?
Well, a meteorologist, atmospheric scientist.
Okay, but
actually air pollution meteorologist.
And now back to Eric.
I'm so glad we cleared that up with our valuable time. Thank you. Chris, would you like to waste 20 seconds, please? I feel like it's no? Okay. Well, folks.
I was actually wondering if people could show up to your book signing to punch a book as a reference.
whatever people want to do. They have to go to my website, ericmetaxas.com, sign up for the newsletter. And fortunately for everybody, we're out of time. Folks, thank you very much.